You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for the roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill, located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. It is a Silver Spoons Award winner for the best seafood restaurant in Cleveland ever since opening. And that's a reputation it earned by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. They've got oysters, crab legs, lobster, scallops, tuna, and great steaks as well. It's a VIP experience, the service second to none. And you can tailgate there as well before Browns games with oysters, Bloody Marys, incredible food, valet parking. Go to Blue Point Grill, that's grillwithane.com, to make your reservations. It's time now, as I said, for the roundtable. And Doug Deacon joins us from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And Deke, this week the Browns, I think, offensively have an opportunity to get it going again against the 32nd ranked defense in the league of the Falcons, because they're not as physical up front as what they've seen the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think that's something that they match up very well with. I think, you know, they're an athletic offensive line, so that helps them out. The thing is, you know, you look at the Falcons, you know, much like what we saw last week, it's a team that, you know, 2 years ago was a pretty good football team. They had made the playoffs for the previous 5 years, and then all of a sudden, unlike Houston, where the quarterback had the meltdown, they just had a lot of, you know, injuries, and on the defensive side of the ball, they got pretty old. But, you know, you look at their offense, they've got some playmakers at the wide receiver, obviously, and the quarterback. But, you know, their offensive line, I think they got four or five guys on IR, their offensive linemen. So other than Jake Matthews, they're a little slim.
Deke, talk about the Josh Gordon factor. How big of an impact do you think Josh Gordon will have on this football game?
Well, I think he'll have a big impact. I remember a couple years ago, was it last year, we played Detroit, and Calvin Johnson was kind of questionable. And they put him out there, but he drew so much attention, it opened it up for, you know, everybody
Faria
else.
Faria had three touchdowns.
But, you know, in the domino theory of it, you know, whoever is going to take, you know, Josh Gordon, obviously would be Trufant, I would imagine, would take him. So then, you know, Miles Austin gets the next guy down, so everybody else is going to benefit by his presence.
Yeah, that's why I was saying yesterday, if you can get him out there, even if you don't want to run him hard on every play, just having his presence out there is going to affect the scheme of this Atlanta Falcons team. Doug, coming off this loss to the Texans, how important is it for the Browns to get back on track here in Atlanta, knowing the following week they have to go on the road to a snow-covered Buffalo?
Well, yeah, I think it's very important. I mean, you know, when you get down to the last six, every game is important, especially when you're in the hunt like they obviously are this year. But, you know, it's one of those where I think, you know, they've had some success. And, you know, in this town, when you have success, it's a fun place to play football. And you enjoy those moments. So I think it's, you know, it's one of those, you know, talking to Joe Thomas last year after the season and telling him, you know, I hope someday you get to win here so you get to really enjoy what this town is like. And, you know, and I think it's important for a lot of those guys. You know, defensively, it's, you know, it's kind of a tough ride for us right now because we've got so many people banged up, you know, in the defensive line. It's the next man up is obviously, you know, going to play a lot.
Doug, how do you, well, first of all, who do you expect to start this week in Atlanta at the running back position? And then also, too, how do you foresee them divvying up those carries between Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West?
Well, they're not on the outside, and they're not a real big defense, and they've, you know, got some young guys in there at linebacker. I think I'd go with Crowell. I mean, he just, you know, the way he runs, I think he's going to give you those yards, you know, after contact, and, you know, he's pretty powerful. So, I would imagine, you know, obviously it's going to be West, but, you know, Winstrom, you know, I keep hearing about this guy. It's to the point, I want to see what this guy can do. I mean, you know, we heard about Crowell. Then finally that last exhibition game, we throw him out there, and we go, whoa, what do we got here?
That's right.
I'm sure we won't see him. I think they'll limit it to the two, but, you know, he's athletic enough that he's going to be a big factor, I think, on special teams.
I think he will. That's what they're looking for out of that third back spot. And Winston, a guy, kind of had a circuitous route to the NFL, 25-year-old rookie, picked up from the 49ers this offseason, and somebody that they have high hopes for. They think he can play, and he's been very effective in practice on the practice squad running on the scout team, I should say, running very hard at times, much to the chagrin, I think, of defenders every now
Heck
and then.
Yeah.
Doug, the Browns go into Atlanta, get to play in a dome, which is certainly nice, the climate-controlled environment. Did you have any good road stories from your days going down to Atlanta? Did you ever make that trip?
No, I mean, when I played, it was the outdoor stadium.
Right.
Actually, the first time I played tackle in a regular season NFL game was against the Atlanta Falcons. I was backing up Shafraff mostly my rookie year. And then about the seventh game, the right tackle, Bob McKay, got hurt. So they put me in a right tackle. And I drew Claude Humphrey in my first game. That's probably a reason he was just elected to the Hall of Fame. But, you know, for your first game, that's a pretty, welcome to the NFL. And things worked out. And a couple of weeks later, I became a starter with about 5 quarters of experience in my life at tackle.
There you go.
Well, Nathan, I mean, I do. I have some stories.
Yeah, give me your best Atlanta story.
Well, I don't have a great Atlanta story. Okay. I'll just give you some things that that are on the minds of players as they enter Hotlanta. And it's Hotlanta for a reason. There's a lot of the reason why a lot of rappers and actors and athletes enjoy living in Atlanta because of the scene that is set. So that is something that is going to be Coach Pettine will pay attention to, is that curfew and making sure guys are focused, because Atlanta can be full of distractions. But also, too, is as a part of the Green Bay Packers on our run, we went to Atlanta late in the season and lost and had to go back and play them. And it's a difficult place to play. That place is loud, not quite what the way New Orleans Saints is, but they use their offensive weapons extremely well on that turf. And if we can match them, speed for speed or skill for skill, I think you can put points on the foot on the board. We can negate some of their speed, and they'll have to throw it, which works well because I think Hayden Screen, Tashaun Gibson are playing extremely well. But it's a tough place to play. But I'm looking for Josh Gordon on that field turf to fly.
You waxed them though that year on the way to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
they were 13
in the playoffs.
They
yes,
were the first seed.
Yeah, we beat them. We went up, I think, 21 early.
Yeah, Rodgers was.
And
perfect
Rodgers
in that
was
game.
Rodgers had eyes in the back of his head. It was just insane. He played out of his mind.
There was an Atlanta story. It wasn't when I was playing, when we were broadcasting. We had Andre Rison here.
Uh-huh.
He had been there.
Bad Moon, yeah.
So Bad Moon was on the sideline, and all of a sudden some hecklers, were all over him. So he signals to his boys a few rows up, and the next thing you know, they come down and start taking care of the hecklers. that's why he was Bad Moon Rising.
Yes, no question. To your point, I remember Jalen Rose said that the Atlanta Hawks had the best home court advantage in the NBA, not because of anything that the fans were doing, but because of everything the opposing players were doing the night before.
Exactly.
Yes.
You said it best.
Yes, so hopefully, I'm sure the Browns are down there. It's a business trip for them. I've tried to, get Billy Wynn to say what his expectations were for Atlanta. He's like, it's a business trip, man. It's a business trip. So it's good. The Browns have certainly the right focus there in this one. But yeah, you talk about the great receivers and the weapons they have on offense. Julio Jones, Roddy White. Doug, you think Joe Hayden takes on Julio Jones in this one?
I would think so. I think because of the size, and Joe really matches up, I think, when he can be physical with a big wide receiver, I think that's a good matchup.
What scares you the most about this Falcons offense?
I think the fact that they've got the two wide receivers can make it happen. I mean, I think they really miss Gonzalez, the tight end, because he was a major factor of, keeping them honest by going down the middle.
Yep.
But the other two aren't bad.
And for me, to answer your question, Nathan, and hop in on that, is for me it's Matt Ryan, because I think Matt Ryan is he's won football games. They obviously had a bad season last year, but I think Matt Ryan is very streaky, and that's what scares me. He can play really well, 1 week and have those weapons firing, and play really bad the next, and they get blown out by a team that you think they should be in a game with or potentially beat. So that is what scares me on how we can get pressure on Matt Ryan and deviate him off the spot, because I think Matt Ryan, as you stated in your Liberty Ford ad, his efficiency, he's not that efficient outside the pocket. When he can sit there and make those throws on his spot, like a lot of quarterbacks in the National Football League, he is very good. But when he has to move and he's getting chased and he's getting hit and you're impacting him that way physically, his deficiency goes down significantly.
Well, the magic number for the Browns, the quarterback rating of 100, he's got to be below it, because when he's 100 or better in his career, he's 36-2 as the starter of the Atlanta Falcons. So, yes, that will be critical there. How much do you think we're going to see Josh Gordon? I mean, how much would you utilize Josh Gordon if you had him?
I would probably use him 50% at least of the time. I don't know if I'd, go over 75. I think that's asking a lot, especially, when you haven't had contact. I mean, you can run all you want, but when you start getting banged around out there, it's a little different. And I'm sure he's just sore from running yesterday, but he is a freak. I mean, this guy, you don't know what he can do. I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, he's top three.
And my question to you guys is, I guess, is Josh Gordon at 75% better than some of the guys, you hate to say it, and discount them, better than some of our guys at 100% because of his playmaking ability?
He's a different level of talent. I mean, there's no question about it. That's why I said, even if you want to have him decoy on a bunch of routes and just kind of stand out there, it's still going to affect what they're doing pre-snap.
But, you know, the history I think we've seen with Josh, though, when he's a decoy, he kind of loses interest.
He's a guy
that you got to feed the ball to keep him into the ball game.
Well, and Mike Pettine said in practice, pretty much every pass while he was in there went to him, and he told Brian Hoyer, can't be like Christmas when you get your new toy and that's the only toy you play with. You got to make sure you still go through your reads there. I don't blame him. I throw it to Josh Gordon just about every opportunity I could get. The good news is you talked about what it's going to do for a guy like Andrew Hawkins, Miles Austin, Robert Alford, the number two corner there in Atlanta, could miss this game. Javier Arenas would have to step up, and he's a capable veteran, spent some time with Kansas City, but that would be good. And again, this is already the 32nd ranked pass defense, so anybody they lose is good for the Browns on that side of the football. Brian Hoyer, 20 of 50 last week, Doug. Set the Browns record for a dubious record, 30 incompletions in that game. Seemed a little surly about it afterwards as well when asked about it. What are you expecting to see from him?
Well, you know, he bounced back after the bad game down in Jacksonville. So I would hope that he would be able to do the same. And like you said, he's got the new toy. You know, you use it. I mean, it's like when Frank Ryan had Jim Brown. I'm going to hand off to him.
Yes.
What the heck? Except in the championship game where he found Gary Collins. And I think Brian is a smart guy. I don't think they're going to get a lot of pressure because we match up pretty good on the offensive line. I would expect. I just hope that in the short game that he gets a little more accurate because he missed a lot of slants last week.
He did, and that was a big problem. Let me ask both of you guys this, Matt and Doug. When you look, you talk about Josh Gordon getting back into playing shape. Does practice get you more ready than for, say, you know, when you're just running around, or is it really playing in a game is the only thing that gets you ready to play in games?
There's nothing like playing in a game. There is no way, and again, Josh could be running gassers every day and running the route tree multiple times a day, but there is nothing like competing against another National Football League cornerback, which you can't replicate.
Because in practice, they're not going to get that physical.
No, they're not. They're going to let him run free. And so, again, he's going to have that physicality at the line of scrimmage. And I think also, too, it's as Doug said, it's the pounding, it's the hits, you know, truly going 100% and 100 miles an hour. You can only replicate in the game because otherwise, you know, you can go 75 in preparation and it's good enough and it feels good enough to Josh. But when he's out there, he'll know what's good enough and what's not.
And about 3 weeks ago, we were talking about Nick McDonald getting up to the speed of the game. And the speed of the game is obviously different. I mean, practice is one speed. Preseason's another speed. Regular season, another speed. If you're fortunate enough to get to the playoffs, it gets tuned up a little bit more.
Yes, it does.
I think, you know, that's one of the things. It's just, you know, the coordination at the speed that they're going, you know, that's something you got to get used to because, you know, you can run your routes. But when you're in the game, you tune it up a bit.
How happy is this offensive line, speaking of Nick McDonald, that for the first time in 3 weeks they don't have to look up and see a Gerald McCoy, they don't have to see a Geno Atkins, and they certainly do not have to see J.J. Watt, who I'm sure they see every time they close their eyes?
Oh, it's got to be. Those are dominant players, and to some extent we were able to handle them. But, I mean, J.J. Watt is a freak. I mean, we had three guys on him, but when you get three guys on him, all of a sudden somebody else is going to be putting pressure elsewhere. And, you know, which kind of flips it to, you know, what we're talking about Josh Gordon. You know, if we got him out there, you're going to get double coverage there. Somebody else is going to have single coverage all day long.
That's a great point. And that's what, you know, Michael and I got into yesterday.
Just put him out there.
Absolutely.
Let's go for that.
I'm ready for the show.
Let's go. All right. That's been the Roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. Blue Point Grill, that's grill with an E.com for reservations. Best seafood in town. Take that somebody special to Blue Point and score some serious points. Great view of downtown. People watching. It's the who's who of Cleveland. So if you want to go to that hot spot, head out to Blue Point Grill right now. All right. For Doug Deacon, Michael Reguy, Matt Wilhelm, this has been the Roundtable. We'll be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, including your phone calls, 216-578-0850, right after this.